And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville all the way back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And I do mean to say there's even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to the phones right now. One of the members of our Republican delegation to the U.S. House is Congressman Gary Palmer, who's been on the show multiple times. Many of y'all know Congressman Palmer, prior to his tenure in Congress, is the one who founded the Alabama Policy Institute that you hear a lot about on this show, an organization that I was also proud to serve on the staff of after he had already left, but I was still proud to be there. That organization has been known for conservative policy in the state for years, and now he's making conservative policy a real thing in D.C. Congressman Gary Palmer, how you doing?
Good, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you. I know you've been traveling today and just getting back up there in the district. We've been neck deep in stuff, and I know you have too. Listen, I got to ask you, first out the gate here, the Ukraine situation and the meeting that was held last week at the Oval Office is still kind of a wow. It's one of the biggest stories on the national and international media circuits. What are your thoughts on where we're headed right now as a nation in the Doge era with Ukraine?
Well, Phil, I've been trying to get Ukraine to pursue an agreement with the U.S. where, similar to what the Brits did in World War II, a lend-lease type arrangement, because I've been very clear with Ukrainian officials that we were not going to give them any more money and that we were not going to give them any more weapons, that the American public doesn't support that. But if they were willing to purchase those weapons and back up the purchases using their critical minerals and rare earth elements as collateral, I thought that was doable. And honestly, I was very excited about Friday. I thought that we're finally going to get that deal done. And it was one of the biggest disappointments I've had since I've been in Congress to see how it played out.
Yeah.
I think, and I don't know if you've been following this and heard this part of it, but apparently Zelensky was encouraged by Senator Chris Murphy and some other Democrats to try to get more out of the deal. And that's what started the whole blow up, was he was pressing for to get Trump to agree to other things. And so in many respects, I think the Democrats may have set him up for failure.
I would agree. And in fact, I said earlier, too, there was also, it's a rumor, and I've not heard anything official on this. If you know something, let me know, but that he may have also consulted with Susan Rice and Alexander Vindman, of all people. And I don't know if that's accurate, but if he's taking advice from the people, I said earlier, who are diametrically opposed to the one who has the authority to grant him what he's seeking, why would that make any sense? There's a naivety there. The very idea that he would go to the people that hate Trump and say, tell me how to work with Trump, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, he clearly misread the room.
Oh, yeah.
And he obviously doesn't know Trump. And that's why I think they set him up. What you got in Zelensky, and I'm not defending him, but if you just watch him, I think it's pretty evident that he's traumatized by what's happened to his country. And he is blinded by his hatred for Putin. If it were up to him, he'd kill all of them, all the Russians, because there's been so much done in his country. And the day before, last Thursday, I had a dozen, 15 evangelical pastors who Zelensky's been very supportive of the evangelicals over there, supporting their national prayer breakfast. They were in here with Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham ministry. Samaritan's Purse has been on the ground in Ukraine from the very beginning of the war. And they were all excited about this. But I think he got misled, and I won't say, I can't judge people's intentions, but knowing some of the people that gave him advice to try to do what he did in the Oval Office makes me think they wanted this to blow up. And Zelensky's desperate to save his country, but he clearly What he did was clearly inappropriate, disrespectful, and he obviously does not know Trump or Vance. I mean, Vance was very authoritative in that meeting, and he just doesn't show, he didn't show the respect and gratitude that he should have shown for, you know, the billions of dollars we've already invested in that war.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I want to move on to some things y'all are dealing with in terms of legislation, but just in closing on the Ukraine matter, in terms of the way forward, Keir Starmer and Macron and others have said they're forming a so-called coalition of the willing. And, I'm glad to see Europe stepping up because we've put in 25% to 30% more than they have so far. But they say the coalition of the willing because they've got Germany and Poland and Italy saying they don't want any part of it, which means not everybody in Europe is behind the idea of the of this going forward without, you know, U.S. backing. But even the ones who, like Keir Starmer, he said, we're going to do this, even if it means putting our own boots on the ground, but we can't do it without U.S. support. So at what point do you think Zelensky is going to be told to come back to the U.S. and make right?
Well, I hope it's soon. And I do think we can do the deal, but I don't think the deal is going to be as good as it was for Ukraine. I think, again, he clearly doesn't know Trump, the negotiator. He probably should have read the book, The Art of the Deal, before any of this started. But this next round is going to be even more favorable to the United States. But what you were in the military and you understand this. Having U.S. Interest on the ground over there, you don't have to have our soldiers on the ground. That increases security for Ukraine because Russia is not going to do anything that would harm.
That's right.
U.S. business interest. And I think, again, Zelensky just missed this badly.
Yeah.
But I do think we can get the deal done. And as far as what's going on right now, that's actually a positive because it's going to force Europe to realize that they may be in this by themselves and they'll have to step up even more in terms of their military spending and their investment in that. As far as I think it's premature to talk about what the peace agreement will look like, but I've asked the Graham Ministries to reach out to President Trump to ensure that the evangelical churches are protected in the regions that are occupied by the Russians, because, Phil, I can tell you that the Putin's regime is targeting evangelicals.
Yeah.
And they've killed a number of evangelical pastors.
Wow. Well, I mean, the world of persecution is still very much alive on Christianity. And I appreciate y'all taking that angle on it. And I know you personally know that is your heart. And back to your point, too, on Ukraine, the deal would have been good because we would have had a U.S. business interest there. Yes, I said on my show Friday that this would have been the same as having NATO without having NATO, because Russia cannot go to usurp something that is now a U.S. vital national interest. Hey, before we lose all our time, though, let me shift gears on you and talk about what's happening legislatively. I mean, you guys are staying extremely busy, and there's been a lot coming out of both the House and the Senate. And I know that y'all just passed the framework for the big, beautiful bill. Tell me where we are on the Trump agenda legislation and where you see it going.
Well, the first thing I want to assure your listeners and your readers, if you're writing, we're not taking away your Social Security. We're not taking away Medicare. We're not taking away Medicaid. I talked to someone yesterday. Actually, they're in Ohio. And I said, did you get your last Social Security check? And they said, yes, we did. Oh, well, you call me if you don't get the next one. And when you keep getting your checks and you keep getting your benefits, call me back when you're tired of being lied to by the Democrats.
Yeah.
Because this is a massive lie.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do is get our spending under control, create these efficiencies, and it starts with getting our technology into the 21st century. This is one of the main reasons we've got such high improper payments, is our data systems, Phil, are 30 and 40 years old in some cases. I was told that the IRS operates on the old COBOL system, which is 50 years old. But we're not taking these benefits away. What we need to do is particularly like in Medicaid, is get the people who shouldn't be on Medicaid off Medicaid so that we've got money available for the people who truly need it. the elderly, the children, the disadvantaged, the disabled. They're being pushed to the rear, particularly in these expansion states, and preference is being given to able-bodied adults who are not working. That's got to change.
It absolutely has to change. And I think that's part of what I keep seeing these tweets that people send out saying, is this what we voted for? Yes, it's what we voted for. It's exactly what we voted for. How about the rest of the entire framework? I mean, do you see this thing moving on a positive note?
Yeah, I think we finally realized that we can't trust the Congressional Budget Office or the Joint Committee on Taxation. If you go back and look at what they projected the revenue losses would be when we first passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2018, it turned out that we increased revenue by $1.8 billion. And I like to remind people, I meant $1.8 trillion. That happened despite going through the pandemic and economic growth being less than 2%, we still increase revenues. We're projecting about 2.8% economic growth, and that will for each percentage you increase your economic growth, that adds $1 trillion in revenues. And looking at a number of other things that we think we can do that are really going to unleash the economy, and the president has already declared energy is essential to our national security. So that's going to be huge in unleashing our energy potential, and it's going to bring down inflation because there's an energy cost in everything that you and I come in contact with today.
Yeah.
So we're really focused on not only growing the economy, but getting the inflation under control and helping, particularly helping the lower income, middle income people handle the cost of living. Yeah, this idea that we're doing tax cuts for billionaires is another absurd lie. That's what they said the last time. And all of a sudden, middle class and lower income people started realizing they had more money in their pockets. They realized what a lie that was.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I think every bit of that's huge. Where do you see the discussion going or the legislation going in regards to things like border security, defense? And I'm hearing about the tax cuts in there too, but the border security and the defense issues are also hugely on the minds of the nation. What do you think on that?
Well, I'm working on some ideas that will generate, I think, several billion dollars that can go to border security, and we're going to secure the borders. And if you've been following this, this same time last year there were, I forget how many tens of thousands that were trying to cross our border in 1 week, and last week it was like under 300 or under 400, something like that. And so I think the message has gotten out. I think people are starting to realize we're serious about this, and what we really need to focus on first and foremost are the people who are here with ill intent, the cartel members, the gang members, the human traffickers, the drug traffickers. And that's the whole point of these tariffs on Canada and Mexico. We lost over 100,000 people to fentanyl and drug overdose deaths, but over half of that is fentanyl poisoning.
Right.
And that's coming across the borders in Canada and Mexico, and they haven't done what they should have done to interdict that.
It's amazing to watch, too, when you look back on the Biden administration, how the border is secure when it wasn't, and then the idea that they can't really take those steps because that's draconian, and now look what's happened in just a little over a month. We've seen the numbers you just quoted a minute ago, and we got about 45 seconds here left, Congressman.
Well, what you just validated is what I've said two or three times here. The people are tired of the Democrat clientele.
Right. That's right.
The border was never secure.
Absolutely.
Now they're trying to blame the increase in the cost of eggs on Trump, and he's been in office less than 4 weeks, or a little over 4 weeks. I mean, this is just one lie after another. And I just look at some of these people that call in here and complain about this and complain about that, and I think, when will you get tired of being lied to by the Democrats?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Well, Congressman Gary Palmer, we appreciate you making time. I know it's been a travel day for you. Thanks for squeezing us in. In the meantime, we'll stay in touch. I'd love to hear more as the legislation develops, too, okay?
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Phil. You do a great job.
Well, thank you, Congressman. You have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Well, that's take me to a break, brother. I ran long just to make sure I had enough time with him, but that's Congressman Gary Palmer, who has been among the leadership in the U.S. House. And in Congress, they've got the big, beautiful bill right now. They're working it. They're working the issue. Senate passed their version. We'll see what comes together. But we're also hearing some good things coming out of other bills that we might talk about here in a little bit. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I'll take some text messages and clean things up. We'll be right back.